And so many times we fall into the trap of thinking, man, if I get it together, if I have it all together, and it's me, 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 and then we wonder why we're missing the piece.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Well, again, I'm glad that you're with us today. And, we're going to dive into a new series called Christmas Playlist. How many of us know music is a great part of the Christmas season, right? Like, you have some favorite songs. You have some things that you really like to listen to, and it's like you almost can't have Christmas. Like, you can do Christmas, but you gotta have the music. It makes it fun, makes it more lively, you know? I asked my boys earlier, I said, hey, you know, what's your favorite Christmas carol? They go, Jingle Bells. And I'm like, man, that's not a Christmas carol. But I remember looking at some of the songs that we've sung years upon years. There's this one classic Christmas carol. It's known as, we understand as, Angels We Have Heard on High. But when I started to kind of do a deep dive into this Christmas carol, I said, where did this come from? It must have been written long, long time ago, but it actually originated in the country of France. You know, so there's some qualifications for Christmas carols, and one of those qualifications when it comes to Christmas carols is it has to be originating from a group of people where it's not formal, it's like almost like a folk song that originates in the community. And it was written and sung by farmers, sharecroppers, laborers in the field, based on a time when these shepherds heard the great announcements about Jesus's arrival. Now, we know it because in 1862, there's this bishop out of England, James Chadwick, who came along and was like, it's such a great song. I want the world and I want the English population to understand it too. And so it was Angels in the Countryside. Now it's Angels We Have Heard on High. So today I want to talk to you about the scripture where this song is actually pulled from. Join me, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 15. There's some ordinary men standing in a field when heaven shows up to meet them where they are at. It's important for us to understand the context that there's no word of God at this point, there's no prophecy, there's no prophets, there's no miracles, that the church, that the generation at this time thought God forgot about them. And then heaven meets these people that most of us would have overlooked. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find him wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I invited the band, hey, give us a little bit of this song, maybe a new revised rendition of Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's take a moment and listen.
Singing over the place, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain.
Glory.
strains prolong. What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire heavenly song. Birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Glory.
It was a little different than maybe what you're accustomed to, but man, wasn't that a great song, right? You know, many times in our Christmas music that we listen to, the great Christmas music all comes around the birth of Jesus. So today, we're going to be talking about the Shepherd's Guide to Hearing from God, because I want you to capture this. The same God that spoke to the shepherd still speaks to us. I think many times we lose that, we miss that, we don't understand that. We're like, we read the Bible narrative of Jesus' birth and we say, no, God's done, like it's not really working, I haven't heard from him. It's like, hey, I want this answer, I need this discernment, I have a lot of things looming and we want to hear from God. And we sit there and we say, God, I need you, God, I need you, God, I need you, God, please give me direction. And then when we don't get it the way we want, when he doesn't show up like we expect, when maybe a circumstance is a little different than we wanted to navigate, we kind of give up saying, God, I want to hear from you. So today, I want to draw your attention. As we just sung this song, Angels We Have Heard on High, or Angels in the Countryside, and I want to talk to you about this guide of listening to God, this perspective that we glean from the shepherds. Let me reiterate again, the same God who spoke to the shepherds still speaks to us. So you can't miss that. I want you to hold on to that truth today. Let's talk. Number one, when it comes to the same God that still speaks to us, here's what the shepherds teach us. Here's the guide that they give us is this: stay present. Stay present. God speaks to where you are, not where you wish you were. I think so many times we get distracted in life trying to climb the ladder, trying to get all the gifts together, trying to make sure the family is getting along, trying to make sure that there is peace and harmony, and we miss that God wants to speak to you no matter what circumstance that you're going through in life. The shepherds, listen, they weren't praying for revival when the angels met him in the fields. They weren't fasting and holding off and attending every church service when the angels met them where they were. What were they doing? They were working, they were watching, and they were waiting. See, an ordinary scene of obedience prompts an active heaven. I want us to capture that and know that. That there's this moment where we feel like we want to hear from God, but we have to do some chores of excellence and have to arrive and have to be this perfect, holy person. But God wants us to be a person who is obedient, who is working where we are at, who is waiting expectantly to where we are at, and is watching how things are playing out where we are at. Jesus expressed it this way in Matthew chapter 6, when there was concern for tomorrow, he simply said this, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring on its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." And in other words, what are we doing in the present? Is the present where we're locked in, what we care about, those people around us, how we treat those people maybe that frustrate us? How are we investing? How are we stewarding our assets and the resources that God's given us? A pastor friend of mine, he always said it this way. He says, God works when we work. You know, one of the biggest disillusions that you can ever come to is saying, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to wait and I'm 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 going to wait. Someone comes in and says, hey, I have a need. And you'd be like, it's all right. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. The shepherds, they were doing what they were doing. They were working. They were there. They were staying present in their surrounding circumstances, then heaven interrupted what was taking place. You look at the Bible, greats in the Old Testament. Let me just highlight one. There's this man by the name of Moses. Many of you are familiar with Moses. Many of you know who Moses is. Some of you don't, but some of the details of Moses' life often get overlooked because we hear about this great moment when he parts the Red Sea, or maybe we hear about the time he hits the rock and the water rushes out. But did you know before Moses defeated Pharaoh with 10 plagues, there was 80 years of preparation? 40 years he studied as a prince. You know, you've seen the narrative. He's put in the basket and he's floated down the river and he becomes this Hebrew man turned to an Egyptian prince. He had every right to stay there, be there, and had it all together, comfortability, but then God does something in his life. After the 40 years of leisure, after the 40 years of royalty, he then takes the next 40 years and he goes out into the wilderness. He becomes a shepherd. And as he's a shepherd, he goes from being the highs of the highs to, in that culture, in that day and age, the lows of the lows, overlooked, considered unclean, considered someone that isn't as equal as other people in society. He saw both ends of the spectrum when it comes to serving God. The point for us is this, that Jesus is for each and every person, the person in prestige and the person in poverty. In Moses, 40 years of prestige, 40 years of poverty. He took that time for preparation. He stayed present to the task at hand. He worked diligently. He waited for the right opportunity, and he watched as God worked his path out. The shepherds teach us, you want God to show up in your life. What's your attitude on the day in, day out sides of life? What's your social media look like that people see when you comment because someone's made you mad? Or maybe what do people see or not see in life? There's this constant reminder that the shepherds give us to stay present and to live for Jesus each and every moment of life. I'm inspired by this story. This man by the name of Roger Payne, he was a researcher, is on a research trip to Bermuda. And he ran into this naval officer, and this naval officer wanted to share with him some of these recordings that he's discovered. And they were known as the whale songs on the ship, and they were actually recorded as songs of the humpback whales. Roger Payne, when he heard what was taking place, he went and he produced it, and it became the number one selling environmental album of all time. This ordinary moment that many people, but this naval engineer would record, that people would be like, oh, that's just the sound that the animals make, that the whales make in the scene. He is like, hey, that's something special. And oftentimes, I wonder how that is working in our life with God. That many times we overlook what is so special right in front of us. The beautiful children you have. Even though there might be days that you want to say, I don't know whose child you are, right? Or the adult children that you raised. Man, I didn't expect that they would turn out that way. Or maybe your parents that have been disciplinarians over you, or there's things that you struggled with in life and the hardships. My friends, there's this call to stay present, that we can't be looking past and wishing we were someplace else when God's opened up doors right in front of us. They teach us that, these shepherds, these ordinary guys in the fields looking over some sheep. Secondly, their second insight to the guiding and hearing from God is this. You have to shift your posture. Shift your posture. You know, we talked about peace earlier today with the peace candle. And when we shift our posture, this is because a listening heart is a pleasing heart. You know, many times we want peace. And I mentioned it when I mentioned the Advent candle, is that peace is often in our mindset and our mentality. That is when everything calms down, when I don't have a problem, when I don't have friction in life, when there's not pain in life, then I have peace. When real peace is actually about who I have in my life. And so it's so important for us to capture and hold on to that. It's not about resolving everything. It's about who we can rely on in these seasons. It's about who's present in your life. It's about your commitment to Jesus in your life. It's about the peace that he establishes over and through your life. See, peace begins with pleasing God. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom God is pleased. To those whom God is pleased. I think many times, especially in the chaos of Christmas, right? We want there to be peace. We want the family to get along. We want everybody to be, you know, coexistent together, and there to be fun and there to be thrills, and that there's all the Christmas tree lightings, the decorations going. Everything works, right? This past year, my wife and I, one of the greatest challenges that we always have in the anticipation of the moments of life or whenever we hang our Christmas lights up on the outside of our house. Anybody have some of those thing that, like, we're old school in this. Like, we were, until we clicked over in 2025. Icicle lights, those were our things. Like, yes, icicle lights, the classic ones. And I always prided myself. I'm like, you know what? I'm not any of those person that goes by the Govee lights and they're the smart intel and they can do all the blinking and flashing and all this cool stuff, right? I'm like, I'm old school. I get up on the roof and I put the lights in and I'm like, yeah. Until this year. You know, so much of the disruption in my life is like every year get the icicle lights out. Guess what would happen? One of the bulbs would burn out. A segment of the strand. I got tired of buying and buying lights, and we love Christmas lights. I think so many times that's how it is in life. We have little things that kind of glitz out in life when really we have an easier option that brings peace. And what I've discovered in my life is when I try to make sure everything calms down for me, it often and seldom does it. But whenever I say, Jesus, you calm things down for me, he often does. Peace begins with pleasing God. There is a story about St. Ignatius of Loyola. He was a Spanish nobleman, and he he is referred to saying this: the visions of God left me in peace, lasting joy and quiet. The visions of myself left me empty. See, he was this man of valor, of honor, of brutality, that he would drink, he would fight, and he was all about his name spreading through the land. Until one day in a battle, he took a cannonball and it took his leg out, shattered his other leg, and he could no longer fight and have that kind of honor or presence like he expected to have. He said he would often wake up and he'd often dream about his valor, daydream, and kind of just go off and think about his epic battles and maybe the glory that will come one day, until he realized that when he started looking at those things, that he always felt empty. Then he started focusing on two books that he had access to that were all about Jesus. And when he started reading those books about the life of Christ and the lives of the saints, he often realized that, hey, when I think about myself, I leave empty. But when I think about Jesus, I find peace. I find hope. I find a stillness in life. And so many times we fall into the trap of thinking, man, if I get it together, if I have it all together, and it's me, and then we wonder why we're missing the peace. So I want to highlight for you ways to shift from posture to pleasing God, because it's pleasing God that leads to peace in our life. The first one is simply this: live by faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 6, the author put it this way: when we live by faith, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So if you are struggling with peace in life, and the shepherds are saying there's this declaration that they've heard that there is peace to whom God is pleased with, to be pleasing to God means you have to be a person that lives by faith, of the unknown, but of the trusting God. Secondly, there's this understanding to live obediently. It's the physical side of faith. Jesus echoed it to those who followed him in John 14, 15. He said this: if you love me, you will obey my commandments. There's this man in the Old Testament known by Noah. It took him hundreds upon hundreds of years to build this boat that he's accredited to building, and that he builds and he saves humanity. Can you imagine that faith that he had to respond to God? Everybody else is thinking, what is going on? And he just worked obediently to the message that he heard. He'd be chopping down trees, planting forests, building a boat, and people would come to him and say, you are crazy, my friend. But here's the thing. Despite what the world said, despite what culture was saying to him, he was saying, I'm going to live obediently. Do you have some loud voices that are pulling you away from living obediently to what God has called you, the life he's called you to lead? Thirdly, when it comes to shifting our posture to a position that pleases God, is this: strive for holiness. God's holiness, his will, is what we're called to. We are made holy and right because of the work of Jesus Christ. So my friends, if you haven't done it yet, accept Jesus as Lord, leader, and Savior. I'm praying right now, every time we communicate the gospel, at our Cape location, here at a North location, wherever it might be, we are saying, God, you interrupt our schedules. You interrupt our lives. Lord, we want people to know you the way many of us already do. We strive for holiness because, Jesus, we are in ourselves made holy. It's not our acts that make us perfect or right, but it's Jesus's work. And when we believe his work on the cross, that he died, resurrected from the grave, all because of God's power, and we believe that and recognize that we are sinners, scripture says that we are saved. But then there's this strive on our behalf. I don't say perfect holiness. I say you strive for holiness. It's actions. Meet a lifestyle that models Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1, Paul put it this way, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already. We encourage you to do so even more." And then verse 3, "God's will is for you to be holy." So my friends, are we shifting our posture to a place that is a listening heart that is pleasing to God? Are we living by faith, obedience? Are we living to strive for holiness? What are some areas in life that might be pulling you away from a holy life? What are some things that you might need to tap on, look at, evaluate, because it's a disruption to how Jesus has called you to live your life? Thirdly, their last insight for us that we get from this moment of men in the fields looking over the sheep is this: then you walk out the practice. So we see this, that you stay present in what God has called you to do. You don't wish you're somewhere else. You don't try to fight for something else, but you stay present and you say, let me be around and let me live for God in my moments that God has operated and let me to live for him. And then it's this understanding, I shift my posture and then I walk out the practice. See, many times we can hear something, but we don't respond. When we walk out the practice, hearing becomes transformation when we turn it into movement. You want to know why God hasn't showed up big in your life? Like we talk about how he showed up big in many of our lives? Because, hey, you're hearing about it, but you're not moving on it. Let me just explain, like, very, very simple. These shepherds, they were undervalued in society. People didn't want their responsibility. Part of the reason I love the shepherds in this moment where the angels show up, and we have it in the Gospel of Matthew, or the Gospel of Luke, excuse me, where Dr. Luke, this doctor, he highlights this passage of these men, is because in society they were considered unclean. They couldn't practice Jewish customs. That these shepherds, they weren't necessarily the property owners. They were the people that were the property managers. They weren't wealthy enough to own the flocks. They were just the ones who managed the flocks. They were ordinary, not a whole lot of skill, not a whole lot of development, not a whole lot of potential in their lives. They were exhausted. When people would sleep, they would be out working. So they're undervalued, they're overlooked, they're unclean, they're ordinary people, they're exhausted. And yet, they hear some of the greatest news first. They are met in this field, working, waiting, watching, staying present. And then they walk out what they heard. It's fascinating. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." If you notice in the scripture, it never says the angels tell them to go to Bethlehem. Every time I read this passage, I'm always like, oh, you know, like, it's just kind of matter of fact. But you have to be like, okay, cool. How many of us, we run into some great news, and it's like, yeah, that's great news, awesome, cool. But we don't move on that great news. How many of us, when we look at things in life, look at what Jesus has done in our life, we hear the good news of Jesus, but we haven't moved on how he's called us to live our lives. In Luke chapter 2, verse 16, they hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, and the angel had said to them about the child. So how many times do we hear something but we don't react to something? How many times do we hear something but we don't move on something? Transformation in our life is when we hear about it and then we respond to it in the right way. But probably the greatest detail I love of this story when it comes to the shepherds, like, you think about it, like, you have angels, heaven's glory meet you in the fields. Like, to even imagine that is mind-boggling. Like, I can't even picture that. Is that like a massive, you know, heaven's armies is there? And they're like taking it back, and it's whoo, like, man, they go. After they had that moment, if I were in the fields, and maybe you as, you know, you always kind of maybe put yourself, that happened to me. You know, I would have saw Jesus as I went, saw Mary and Joseph when they told everything that happened. Mary stored it up in her heart. I would have been like, I'm not going back to those fields. I'm not going to be around that sheep dung. Like, those people can find their own sheep. I found the Messiah, the Savior. I'm going to be right here. Mary, like, you're getting some new roommates right here. We're with you. Beautiful detail of the story. The shepherds, they went, they see the Messiah, the Savior, the one who's going to change the world for all of us. But here, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told him. So here's the takeaway when it comes to this moment in their life. They weren't praising before, but they met Jesus, they hear the news, they're praising after. You know, many times in life, Christmas can be loud. We can make it about different things. We can make it about maybe the music. Maybe we can make it about the gifts we're getting people, the experiences that we're looking for, the holiday traditions, the Christmas parties, and it can be loud, and there can be a lot of noise. But what's so vital and what the shepherds teach us is listen to the right person so that when you walk it out in practice, you are then transformed through the movement in which you go. See, the shepherds, they had every reason to say, you know what, I don't know about this. But then they go back and they say, hey, we're going to be transformed because what we heard this night some 2,000 years ago. It's a fascinating story. So today my question for you is simply this. Are you listening to God? Are you staying present with where he has you? Are you hoping for just different circumstances that you're missing all the beauty right around you, the opportunity right around you? The hope that is right there before you, the people. The saying that's been resonating in my heart lately is, excellence is our worship. We want to be excellent in everything we do, but people are the mission. And so we say, like, hey, are we staying present in this Christmas season? Are we looking for opportunities right around us? Or are we missing it because we're looking past? Are we shifting our posture to a position of peace where it's saying, God, I just want to please you. I'm going to live by faith. God, I want to be obedient. God, I want to strive for holiness. Even though the crowd might call me crazy or I might be in the fields by myself and there might be this divine moment, no matter what comes my way, God, I just want to please you. I want to be a bold person of faith. I want to be someone that takes a stand in culture when Christianity is under attack, where beliefs are under attack. God, and I want to live holy, and I want to love people like you've called me to love. I want to express my holiness by how I treat others. And then am I willing not to be just someone who hears, but to someone that moves, because that's where the transformation happens. A lot of us are great at hearing, but we're not great at moving. And this is a church that commits to always moving and being transformed by the blood of Jesus, church. I'm going to invite you to stand with us. If you're at our Cape location, you as well in our north here. God's doing some amazing things, and we celebrate this Christmas season on not only what has been done, but what will continue. So that's why we're reminded every Christmas season, the coming of Jesus, the changed lives that he brings to each and every one of us. And so today, before we close in prayer, I just want to invite those when we enter into this prayer time, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, leader, and Savior right now in this moment, don't just be someone that hears, be someone that moves and responds and ultimately is transformed. And if you're here right now, Maybe you've committed your life to Jesus. Watching online, you say, hey, Pastor, I do that. But maybe you need to just take a moment and start listening like the shepherds taught us to listen. I'm going to pray. Band is going to sing. Let's give this moment to the Lord.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.